Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. I want you to turn your Bibles or your iPad, your phone, cell phones. Glory to God. I'm so used to it. You know, my script just says turn in your Bibles because that's what I've always said, but very few people use a Bible anymore. And they use iPads like I have in front of me. I also got my Bible right here so I can turn to it. But anyway, turn in your Bibles, whatever you're using, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Verse number 9. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Oh. Huh.
2 Chronicles 16, 9. Amen. Amen. All right. Glory to God. We praying for the Bible man. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Uh-huh. Amen. We're all set now? Okay, amen. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Thank you, Lord. There's just a rich portion of this verse that I want to focus on here at the beginning. Look at what it says. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So this scripture tells God's searching for somebody. He's looking. Excuse me. It says throughout the whole earth. He's looking for somebody to stand by. He's looking for somebody to strengthen. And he's looking throughout the whole earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, let me just show you this. What is to be understood of the eyes of the Lord? Let's turn to Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 5. The book of Revelation, chapter number 5, verse number 5. It reads, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth." Or can I just add a little bit to bring it into context with what we're talking about right here? Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, into the whole earth. Like it said back in 2 Chronicles. So when it says the eyes of the Lord, could it be talking about the Spirit of God? Amen. Amen. As we see this reference here, it says seven spirits of God. I happen to believe that it's seven manifestations of the one Spirit. It's not that
Amen.
God is split into
Amen.
Seven spirits, but it's seven different ways in which you can experience the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And we can see that. But the point that I wanted to make here is that the Spirit of God is going out in the whole earth amongst all humanity, searching for a particular kind of person. And that particular kind of person is one whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we have to be careful with the word perfect, because when most of us see the word perfect, we immediately begin to back away from it. Nobody can be perfect. But it doesn't mean that that person is absolutely perfect, but it means that that heart attitude toward God is absolutely perfect. Amen. Doesn't mean that I do everything right all the time, but it means that my heart is absolutely right. You see, the scripture talks about David, and God said about David that he's a man after my own heart. That is so good to me, because David wasn't a perfect man. Let me say that again. David wasn't a perfect man. But David's heart toward God was perfect. And even when David messed up, he came back before God and repented before God and fasted and prayed until he got that thing off of him. Amen? Because David missed it big time. But you see, that heart turned right back around and went to God. That didn't let him stay and live consistently in that state of disobedience and rebellion.
Amen. You know, if we could go back to 2 Chronicles 16, but go up to verse 7. I have faith in you, sound guys. You can do it. 2 Chronicles 16. There you are. And this is kind of to give a little more just in the story itself of what's going on. And this is, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hands. Then he went on to say, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hands. Then he goes on to say, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. So Asa, who was the king, kind of got beside himself and thought he was all that, forgetting that the only reason he was accomplished in any feat was because God was on his side. And as long as his heart was towards God, God delivered. When he decided to trust in man and trust in himself, he was punished. God's hands were tied, if you can believe it, as mighty and powerful and big as he is. God has to have our hearts looking to him. And even if you look away sometimes, if you turn and cry out, he's right there. Right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. 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 So I think the thing that I saw most of all, we don't have to try to coax God to do anything special for us. The Bible says he looking. He looking to show himself. He wants to be able to express himself in a way that nobody has ever seen him. Because every time that he shows himself, another person has seen what God can do. And he wants to show himself that way. But he's looking for a certain type of person. Because if you have the wrong kind of heart. Number one, if God does something special and your heart is wrong, it'll be detrimental to you. Number two, it'll be detrimental to the people around you, because you'll represent it as your own work or your own effort or your own wisdom or your own strength or your own goodness. Look how good I am because of what I was able to do. That's why it says here whose heart is perfect toward him, because it has to do with a part of you that nobody can really see. Only God can see. But God says, now when I see that kind of heart, you don't have to beg me. I'm coming. If I see that heart, I'm coming. And I ain't just coming just to visit. I'm coming to show myself strong. In other words, I'm going to do something that only God can do. Amen. But it says whose heart is perfect. And so, again, this doesn't mean that I've arrived. But what this means is that there is no part of my heart that is not responsive to God. There's no part of my heart that I close out from him. There's no part of my heart that I would say, Lord, I'll give you everything else, but I want to keep this here. I enjoy this. But no, when you think about, like that song, as soon as I think about the Lord, it changes my perspective on everything else. So this is an atmosphere in your life that always surrenders to God, always approaches God in great humility.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it means to fear the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's that heart that's perfect towards him.
Amen.
That heart that always bows down to him.
Yes.
That heart that always has God on the throne.
Yes.
And there is nothing that I want to submit to him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when you see his heart is perfect, you got to think about Jesus, because we know Jesus' heart was
perfect.
And when Jesus came to a time where there was conflict about what he was comfortable with, Jesus said, Lord, if it's possible, let this be passed from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
That's right. Amen.
Do you see that's a perfect heart?
Yes.
In other words, what Jesus said is, even if I have to die, that should be sobering right there.
Yes. Yeah.
He said, even if I have to die, I'm surrendered to your heart and your will. And your purpose. And your plan. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. And, you know, certainly, I don't believe that that's the will of God. That he going to say, oh, I'm going to take your life. No. But listen, if you don't stand there, then you'll put something else first.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really think that having a perfect heart for most of us is a work in process. You know, sometimes we'll say we're going to believe God, and if it's taking too long, or the thought keeps running around in your head, but what if he doesn't do it? What if he does? So I need to have a backup plan in case God don't or won't. But see, Jesus has already said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible.
Yeah.
He's already said it. And so then, you know, I think I said this last week, part of the struggle is learning how to trust God 24/7 in every area. You know, Paul talks about the fact that he is the God of peace. And he sanctifies and preserves us, spirit, soul, and body. And so these are the things that we think about. We think about the fact that, you know, God has never lost a battle. Let the record show from the word of God, never lost a battle. Sometimes as Christians, we have lost battles, and then we try to say it was God, but God has never lost a battle, and God is faithful. Even to do the miraculous, if that's what's needed in your case. And a lot of times, because there are so many voices in this earth saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. One social media platform, you're tooling along, the title got your attention, and then about 30 seconds into it, and if you like this, why don't you just go ahead and click that bell so that you can receive? So in other words, depend on me, I got something for you. You may not look at it that way. But God is our source, and it really takes concerted effort, determination, fighting to focus. This morning I was praying, and all of a sudden I realized my mind. At first I was praying, and I was in awe of God, but then my mind started drifting. Of all the things that I needed to do, I haven't done them up to yet, but now I need to do them. You all know what I mean. And so then I say, come back. And I refocus. And a few minutes later, it drifts. And so sometimes you have to fight to stay mindful of your God, because the world is pulling on you 24/7. But God is God.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. So the scripture says, so the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Yeah. In the behalf of them. Come on. The one whose heart is perfect toward him, he wants to show himself strong on their behalf. I want to do it for you. I want to show that you ain't crazy. I want to show that it makes sense to get up on Sunday morning. I want to show them that it makes sense for you to study your Bible, to spend your lunchtime in prayer. I want to show everybody what you've been doing and who you've been with. And I'll show them on your behalf. I think sometimes we all know about the commandments. Remember what the first commandment is? The first commandment. Now, Jesus said that Jesus gave a new commandment. But initially, when God was talking to Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God said this, and there's no difference. Because I'll come back to Jesus and show you they're the same thing. But anyway, God said this, thou shalt have no other God before me. So whose heart is perfect? That means that he's supreme in your heart. That means that there's no area of your heart that you say, Lord, you're not welcome here. That means that there's nothing that will come into your heart that will bring conflict with what God said to you. You won't allow for the conflict. When I fear the Lord, the conflict, no, I can't even fathom that there's some conflict. It has to be like, man, my grandmother used to always say when I was a little boy, you know how little kids want to talk back sometimes. And my grandmother, listen, my grandmother would say, boy, don't you dispute. Yeah, y'all know that's dispute. But anyway, My grandmother from the South, she said, don't spew my word. She expected her word to be supreme. And so no matter what I felt like or what I thought was right, she said, don't you dare find yourself in rebellion against what I said. And that's what's creeping into our makeup today. There are so many people that want to argue with what the Word of God says, finding themselves in rebellion against the living God, trying to define truth by what men teach rather than saying what you say is truth. I won't spew your word. Your word is truth to me. Your word is Lord to me. Your word is supreme to me. And I won't dare allow my thoughts. I won't allow my words. Listen, I won't allow my actions. See, that heart has bowed down to God. And God said, when I find that heart, I can do something. I can do something. Because what people want to know is that there is a God. And he's got to have somebody that will have a perfect heart so he can show them that, yeah, there is a God. And you ain't going to find him where you've been looking. Glory to God. Glory. But if you will have a perfect heart toward him, you will find him. You'll find him. You'll find him. Glory to God.
You know, sometimes we need to take that mental journey back to the beginning scriptures that we learned. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe. But then scripture went on to explain that Jesus died for us. He died to please the Father because the Father wanted you. Amen. So he died for you. But the greatest of all that went on is that God raised him from the dead, conquering death. So any and everything that had a right to block you from God no longer has authority. But you have to stand up.
Amen. Glory.
And as you think about that, you think, wow, God did all that so that I don't have to deal with any of the mess, the confusion, the conflicts, the fights, the strife, the sickness, the poverty. I don't have to deal with any of that. Oh, but I got to stand up and trust God in all of that. He has provided everything. Time and time again, throughout scriptures, Old Testament and New, scripture says, for those that trust in him, they shall not be ashamed. You will not be put on the shame show trusting God. Say, I will not be ashamed as I trust God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at a scripture. Genesis chapter 31. Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 31. Can you pull up verse number 42? Genesis 31, 42. Pull that up for me. Thank you, Bible man. Glory to God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Bible
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'm calling
Bible
him.
Bible man.
Calling
okay.
him. A superhero, because I want superhero responses.
Yes.
So I'm going to call. He's superhero. He got super Bible powers yes. in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Preach it, Pastor. Yes.
All right. Genesis chapter 31, it says, except God, except the, oh, so let me just give you a little background. Jacob here is talking to his father-in-law that he's worked for. For 14 years, 7 years for one wife and 7 years for another one, and he had cheated him.
So maybe just do 41?
Okay, I'll just do 41. Go back to 41. Thank you. All right. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages how many times?
Ten.
10 times. How many of y'all know that don't mean 10 raises?
Hello. Hello.
He was cheating him.
Left and right.
Every time he was taking advantage of him, every time he was changing the deal, restructuring the deal, every time he was making it harder for Jacob to win. Come on, what he was doing what?
Making it harder
for Jacob to win. Verse 41. I'm sorry, 42. Except the God of my father. Wait a minute. He said, you changed my wages 10 times. But he said, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the, what's this? Fear of Isaac. The one that Isaac stood in awe of. Had been with me. Showing himself strong. Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. But you wasn't able to. What you tried to take from me, the fear of my father made sure that I walked off with what I was supposed to have and more. He said, God have seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Amen. Amen.
You know. Right on there, and rebuke thee yesternight. Y'all, listen, y'all need to stop trying to fight your own battles. Let God handle it. He knows how to get them. He'll either hit them where it hurts, or they will turn to God. It's their choice, but he'll make sure that you are recompensed.
Now, I want to take a look at this phrase, the fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac. You know, a lot of times when people hear about the fear of the Lord, they kind of back away from that because when they think about fear, they only think about one kind of fear.
Mm-hmm.
That fear that makes you afraid and timid about something. But this is a standing in awe, a reverence. And there ain't nobody else who should have had God as their fear like Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, God had Isaac's daddy put him on the altar. Tie him to the altar. Raise the knife over that boy. And he was getting ready to come down and an angel from heaven stopped him. So Isaac knew firsthand that God provides in that moment that you need him. He wasn't early because he could have came yesterday, but he got here just in time.
Amen. Amen. You know, and two, in that example, in that part of the story, he didn't raise his hand. Hoping, looking around. Where you at? No, he raised his hands with all intentions on stabbing that boy. Even though I think he was a young man by then. But, and he had taught his son to the degree that his son trusted him like he trusted God.
So here's the thing that I want. Can you put a New King James version of this up? The thing that I want to say to you is this. Oh my gosh. Isaac, from that situation that looked like there was no way he was coming out of, he learned to stand in awe of God. He said, whoa, look at that. Look at that. Right when I needed him, he was there.
That's right.
And so God expects us to at least be discerning enough to see his hand in situations in our lives and learn to fear him from the way that we see him respond on our behalf and show himself strong. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes we have to close our eyes so that we don't have to look at what is glaring at us, trying to proclaim that God cannot or will not. And sometimes you just have to close your eyes and say, nope, 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 not receiving that. God, you are able. God, you are able. Every bone in your body may be screaming, but, wait, waiting. Nope, nope, God, you are able. I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm not listening to my emotions. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, and you will deliver.
Amen. Amen. You don't have the New King James? Okay, that's okay. That's okay if you don't have it. I can just tell them, and they can look it up later. So the thing that I wanted to point out in the New King James, where it says fear of Isaac, oh, there it is. It capitalizes the F. The capital F means that's God's name. So God became to him, to Isaac, the fear of Isaac. The same way that we call him Jehovah, Isaac called him my fear. The one that I reverence and respect. And see, that's something that can only come from your heart.
Yeah.
It only comes from your heart.
In relationship with God. We can't continue to play church. And we can't continue to pretend that we love Lord and make all the right gestures, raise our hands and say, praise the Lord. And, you know, but when it comes time and it's just you, yourself, and Holy Ghost. Anything else but that. But you know what else? Jacob talked about the fact that God, he respected his uncle even when he was being a trickster, even when he was manipulating, even when he was stealing from him and smiling in his face at the same time. He never disrespected him. But the night before this wonderful interaction, Laban got rebuked.
So let me say something about that never disrespected him. Okay, that's important. Because what a lot of people think is that you can have your heart right toward God in church and have your heart wrong toward God in the way you treat other people. See, my heart has to be perfect toward him. And so that means that whatever I say to you, whatever I do to you, whatever I think about you can always stand up to the scrutiny of God's will.
Yes.
And God will look at anything that I say or do and say, that's a man that loved me right there. See, I can do some work in his life and he's always going to give me the glory. And it's always going to put the light on me. Glory to God. Remember, the New Testament tells us in Matthew chapter number 5, it says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify. Huh? I wonder why you don't get the glory. Could it be because you ain't strong enough to do what was just done? People know that something or someone divine has just done something in their midst. People know that this is praiseworthy. Glory to God. So when they see your light shine, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's God showing himself strong in your life. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. I think we can end here. I don't know. No, I'm not going to go there. Go to Proverbs chapter 8, because I'm looking for a place to end. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13. Hallelujah. This is important here. Look at what it says. The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate.
As to what?
Hate evil.
Hate evil. Hate evil. Hate pride. Hate arrogance. Hate the evil way. And hate the froward mouth or the perverse mouth, that twisted, lying mouth that always misrepresents things. God said, I hate those things. And so the fear of the Lord is for you to hate them too. So I hate what you hate, Lord. Now you notice that God doesn't leave any neutral territory. He don't leave no neutral ground for you to say, well, you know, I'm not on one side or the other. Well, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, people ought to be able to do what they want to do. If it's evil, I hate it.
Yes.
And if it's prideful, I hate it. And anything that would try to stand up against God is prideful. Anything that would try to stand up and say, I don't have to stand up when the praise and worship play. That's prideful. Standing up, it ain't standing up for me. It ain't standing up because everybody else standing up. Who be in worship? If God be in worship, I'm standing up. I'm standing up. If I got to lean on my cane, no matter what I got to do, I'm standing up because God is to be honored, and I want to make sure that my heart is honoring him.
Amen. Amen.
My heart. See, I can't allow rebellion in my heart. And that's where rebellion sets in. And, it is simple to know it because it's almost like there's somebody separate from you talking to you. And it's saying to you that you don't have to do this or you don't feel like this or that's not what you like. Always giving you ways to rebel against the Lord, and that heart's not perfect.
Yes, amen.
And David, man, had an occasion in the scripture. The Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that represented God's presence, that as long as that Ark was there, God said, I'll meet with you above that mercy seat. And so when they had the Ark there in the Holy of Holies, that's where God's presence would dwell, and the high priest could come in and put all their petitions before the Lord and secure the Lord's blessing for them from their continued commitment and their full commitment. So the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. And David said, that's gone on long enough that we've been worshiping down here and calling out to the Lord without his presence here. See, I'm not willing to just do things that look good.
Amen.
I need to be with my God. And so David said, we're going back to get the ark. We're bringing the presence of the Lord back in our worship. And when David, now before David went to get the ark, David called the priest together. He said, okay, now look, we're going to get the ark of God's presence, and we're bringing him back to the temple where he's supposed to be. Because that's the purpose for our worship. That's our reason for worshiping, is to be able to enjoy that relationship with him during that time, that fellowship with him where questions get answered, that time with him where we get our security and our identity from. People are lost because they don't know him, and he made you. You got to know your maker so that he can begin to detail to you why you're here, what you're supposed to be doing, how you do it. And every time you come here, he said, I got something fresh for you to help you to navigate through this life, not to just drift from one problem to another mess, but to you can go and live life on purpose. So David's went and talked to the priest. He said, okay, now we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. He said, I need y'all to appoint some singers. And I need you to appoint some musicians to play the music. And he started, David even mentioned that, was those drumsticks out there?
Amen. And so David. And
amen. So David. Man. I get ready to bow down.
He's getting ready to flow.
So David talked to him. And he said, look, bring the singers. And I need you to appoint some singers. And he said, now I need you to appoint people to play this instrument, the psaltery, play this instrument, the harp, play this instrument, the cymbals, and to play the tambourine. And I need you to appoint somebody to play all of these. And he said, now when we bring the ark down here, we ain't sneaking it back up in the temple.
Amen.
He said, we're going to sing with joy because the presence of the Lord is here. We're going to sing with joy. And they went down. There's a whole lot more to the story that I could tell you. But I just want to say this. Before they went to get it, David said, I need y'all to do this. Sanctify yourself. The word sanctify means just to separate. Separate yourself. Act like you know you're going to do something that's important. You need to act like this a special day, like this ain't just regular. Yeah. This ain't business as usual. Something special is happening today. I'm going before the Most High, and I want to make sure that things in my life is in agreement with him so that everything that he wants to do, he's able to do in me and through me. Fear was on them all.
Amen. You know, in another scripture, it talks about the fact that as the musicians and the singers mm-hmm. were one,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I think it's not just talking about, you know, one in their music, but in unity. As they yeah. were one, the glory cloud filled the place to the point where they could not stand.
Yeah.
And I say that to kind of preface what I'm about to say. I believe that this is how it's supposed to work with praise and worship. You are supposed to, because your heart is perfect towards God, on a regular basis outside of this building, you should be working on and practicing his presence. You should be worshiping him till his presence comes. Well, how will I know? Oh, trust me. When his presence comes, you will know. And being in that position where you are a worshiper and you worship to the point that it pleases God and his presence shows up, you then bring that to the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And you bring that to the sanctuary and the music department brings their part, the glory cloud will fall.
Yeah. So now I want to pray. And I need to pray because I just believe that there are some folks here who want to be that kind of person that God is looking for. Who want to be able to say, Lord, you can show yourself right over here. Lord, you can show yourself strong right here. Lord, my heart, Lord God, if there's an area of my heart that is hidden from you, that I've kept from you, Lord, I don't know it. Because anything that I know, Lord God, I'm leaving that today. I'm dropping that thing today, Lord God. For from this day forward, I want to be the one that you're looking for to show yourself strong, Lord God. I want you, Lord. I don't want nothing to hinder you from doing everything that you want to do, Lord God. If you want to be strong, show yourself in me, Lord God. Show yourself in my life, Lord. Make yourself known, Lord God. And so for some of us, there are some things, areas of our heart, we know that we've withheld from him. We know that we've shut the door and closed him out. And it is that place of humility before him that says, Lord, come on in. For this place, Lord God, it needs to be cleaned up. This thing needs to be in order, Lord God. This thing, Lord God, is time out for that, Lord. And Lord, I want to surrender my whole heart to you, Lord God. For you said that if I search for you with my whole heart, I'll find you. And Lord, we just saw today, Lord God, we know why we find you, because you're looking for that whole heart. And so, Lord, when we search with our whole heart, we find you. Lord, it says in the book of Daniel, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Do special things. So we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord God, there's some shifting in heart attitudes taking place. There's a change, Lord God. There's a new season coming about, Lord God, for some of us. For others, Lord God, they've always known and always searched for you, but didn't recognize that this was the thing holding them back, Lord God. And so I thank you, Father. This morning, Lord, as we take inventory of our hearts, if there's any area that we've prevented you from entering into, we've prevented you from taking stock of that. If there's anything that we've hidden from you, Lord, make it known to us, Lord God, because we want to leave it today, Lord God, never for that thing to return to our hearts again. And we thank you, Lord. The eyes of your spirit need look no further. For him, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Yeah, I can do that. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of repentance. But we thank you, Lord God, this is also a time of advancement. And we ask you, Lord God, for demonstration in our lives, Lord God. Yeah. Demonstration. As we surrender our hearts to you today. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, even for those of you online, this don't think that you had to be here in order to take advantage of this. God hears your prayer right where you are. But I'm going to be real honest right now. For some of you, the reason you are where you are is because there's an area of your heart that you haven't surrendered. Every church in America is dealing with a portion of people who haven't returned to worship in person.
Amen.
And that's rebellion. Because God said, forsake not the assembling
yes.
of yourselves together.
Yes.
There's something special and unique about the sanctuary. I ain't trying to put nobody in bondage or condemnation, but I'm saying, man, let a man examine himself. Glory.
Amen.
Glory. Some of you, you need to watch online. You're in another
yeah.
state.
Yeah.
I understand people have moved away or are on vacation or things of that nature.
Or sick.
But some of us need to just say, you know what, Lord? It's time for me to surrender that part of my life.
Yeah.
I can't withhold my time from you.
Amen.
I can't do that. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, on that line or vein, I think most people, I can pretty much tell by what goes on in the body of Christ across the board. Most people don't understand what their pastor's responsibility is and the pastor to whom God has assigned you. I didn't say who you assigned to you. But who God has assigned to you. There is something supernatural, empowering, that breaks bondages and brings about wisdom and answers that you're only going to get at church. You may not even realize what you're getting, but Satan's job is to keep us, our attention this way and that way. And I don't feel like going to church today. I can just watch it. Listen, I am, me and others that I know, we are of the conclusion COVID was not about the world. It was about the church. And so just like you will honor your J-O-B, and get up and go 5 days a week. Might be late, but you going. You wouldn't have that J-O-B if it wasn't for God. And that is the truth. And everything you think you're able to accomplish on your own, you're really not doing, is God. And his mercy is keeping you thus far. But there's coming a time, folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, there's coming a time when we're all going to have to pick sides and walk it, talk it, and be consistent about it.
Amen.
There will be those who will challenge us, and it's like, nope, my God I know.
Thank you, Lord.
My God I trust.
Thank you, Lord.
And if he told me to go to church, and he told me to go to that church, that's where I'm going. And I'm going with the expectation of meeting him there. In another vein that I do not experience with him outside of here. So, and really that's to say, come expecting. Come expecting to receive from God. Don't come just because of a legality in your mind. Come because God is going to meet you here. He loves you and he wants more for you than you're experiencing. I can go on and on, but we're getting very close.
Amen. 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 Glory. I just want to take a moment to receive offering before we dismiss today. And, you know, this is certainly a part of our spiritual worship unto the Lord.
Yeah.
There's scripture on it. And so when I give, I'm responding to scripture affirmatively. I'm saying, yeah, Lord, I absolutely will do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purpose in his heart. Do you see? There it is again. Is that heart perfect? As he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One that responds to his word with joy. That's what that is. Yeah, Lord, you said it. I'm glad to do it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there are several different ways that you can give. Those are listed on the screens. Those of you who want to give by check or money order or cash, certainly the ushers have been out and handed envelopes out. I want to pray before we receive the offering in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to give, Lord. Our giving, Lord God, is a part of our heart training. And as we surrender our heart to you, Lord God, it is cheerfully that we give and that we sow seed, because you've promised in your word. You said if we give cheerfully and if we give bountifully, that we'll also reap bountifully. But if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. Now, Lord, I'm just honored to see that you're faithful. And so, Father, we do give what we believe is a bountiful offering to show, or as an expression of our appreciation for you. Please receive these gifts of love and reverence and awe of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may receive the offering. I have a couple of announcements before we dismiss. Announcement number one, brothers, you know, today or this evening, they're still playing the Super Bowl, even though the Lions ain't there.
That's right. They're playing anyway.
And so, glory to God, we're going to get together and kind of help each other to do what we've done for years and years and years. Get ready for next year. Amen. So tonight, brothers, is our Super Bowl party. Downstairs, you can park on the other side of the building and enter on the lower level. And there will be food and, bring a dish to pass, whatever is your favorite, whatever's your favorite Super Bowl or football dish that you like, your snack that you like to have. Bring it tonight in the name of Jesus, and we'll share it with all the brothers. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. That's kickoff is at 6:30. So, we'll be here early to prepare and get ready for everybody in the name of Jesus. All right. A water baptism is coming up the first Sunday in March. So if you'd like to be water baptized, you can call the church office. And we will get you signed up. We need to know so we can plan for you. Amen. Amen. We'll have clothing for you. All you do is bring a towel. And, they'll tell you what to bring in the name of Jesus. Glory. All right. So water baptism is coming up. If you or your child, you might have a child that wants to be water baptized. And you can call. But please make sure that your child has made the decision, that you're not telling them you need to be baptized. Amen. Because if you make them, it serves no real purpose. Amen. You want them to make the decision to say that, yeah, I want to be baptized. And amen. All right. Glory to God. And then explain to them what it is. This is a surrender of your life to the Lord. Amen. All right. Let me just keep going. I think that's it for today. Glory to God. Thank you all for coming to worship with us today. We appreciate every one of you. We look forward to seeing you again real soon. Those of you online, we love you, and we look forward to worshiping with you real soon. God bless you all. Have an awesome weekend.
Amen.
Amen.
You mean week?
Oh, week? Yeah, weekend, week, month, all of that.
Amen.